Get Real News from Jonathan and Paul.
Okay, hello everyone. This is the beginning of the year, 2016. I'm joined today with Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hiya.
And Jenny. Hello, Jenny.
Hi.
My name is Jonathan. We're going to share a little reflection about change and what's happening in our own lives. And by reflection, what we see happening in the world and maybe how together we can handle change, what's going on, and turn this life of ours around on our lovely blue planet Earth. So, we've all been through some quite deep adventures, and mostly good. I've really been getting in contact with the value of family. For me, seeing my kids and members of my family I hadn't seen for many years, very, very special experience. I was over in England recently observing how vulnerable so many of us are in Britain with respect to our jobs and difficult times, central services being withdrawn left, right and centre, funding for community culture being withdrawn, and these pressures everywhere on the planet with the environment and in the Middle East, refugees in Europe. In many respects, what would appear to be quite a desperate situation. So I'm personally beginning to let go of trying to kind of, go out there and rant at anything or anybody or try and change anything out there. I see that what I do in my own life is much more important, how I think and feel about myself. How about you, Paul? What's your reflection on how to make sense of our own lives? And basically, we used to be driven, motivated by, let's make a difference, So, where are you at with that?
I don't know. I mean, I grew up as a teenager in a little rural part of the world, farming communities, a little bit of industry. But that all seemed to kind of disappear quite rapidly around the time I left school. So I just followed a career of moving away, like a lot of people do in these rural communities around the world. Go to a city, chase the money, streets are paved with gold, get a job, do the 9-to-5. That's what people did. No, but I wasn't particularly thinking about, the state of the world and things like that, because it didn't seem to be in the front at that point in my life, because I was still in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, younger than that, late teens, early 20s. So, as everyone knows, as you get older, those things come, especially when you have children.
Children changes everything.
It changes a lot of the way you see things. Mm. So, I was very active when I did live in London, involving myself with things like Reclaim the Streets, the Barclays Bank movement against apartheid, poll tax.
Got you into the Green Party, did this?
The Green movement, suddenly my world was all aware and everyone else's was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just exploded.
So you were a councillor in the community aspiring to be?
No, I was just a member of the public, wasn't
right.
I? Like everyone else.
Okay.
Like, just getting together and my friend was a photographer for the press, so we always made a nice little photo opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
With a, ban the poll tax banner.
but we've seen
laying in the streets on Oxford Street chained together and stuff like that. But I'm just the tip of the iceberg. Some of the people I hang around with now in England, full on. I mean, you know, I've got friends who spent, you know, months at a time camping in a tent outside St Paul's Cathedral, living on a food handout.
Mm-hmm.
They are fully, fully, absolutely unbelievably
activists.
Yeah,
activists.
I mean, you know, full on. Makes what I was doing in the day seem nothing, but it moved on.
We've been there. I've been there. I was,
you know, you're the same. So
living in a church in the north of London at the time of the eco-warrior movement. Some of us were attempting to prevent the councils from tearing down old folks' homes and protecting the ancient forest.
Yeah.
You know, that was a time,
but
wasn't it?
You know, then, don't you?
But I believe we've moved on from that.
Nothing's changed much. All that's happened is
the
events have got more severe. The situation's become more aware through technology, the media, the internet.
Polarised?
No, it's just everyone knows what's going
Everybody
on.
Everybody knows what's going
the
on.
The more and more people are going to, you know, don't forget, we used to be, you know, in a semi-counterculture type, arty music, weird, you know, that type of thing. So you're kind of more open-minded to all of this possibilities of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
rather than, I can't be asked without shove it under the carpet.
WikiLeaks changed everything, didn't
it? Yeah, but that was a lot later on. But now, you know, every corny turn, every other person you speak to is aware of the things that we were aware of then as a minority.
Yes, exactly.
So, no wonder there's people, you know, everyone's having to adapt to change because everyone's the penny's dropping to the mass population.
This is it. Everyone
so change
is aware the change is
quicker.
We
and
need
more
to
change. Rapid.
Everybody knows.
And we haven't got any control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, a lot of my friends would not like me to say this, but I don't personally see how chaining yourself to railings is going to change anything anymore. Because if the likes of a corporation want to continue mining in Brazil for iron, or at the rate that they do, they're digging up holes the size of a football pitch every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're then breaching all security, obviously not taking care because...
Don't have to go that far to Brazil, you just go to the British countryside and they're launching a big fracking campaign.
Yeah, but that's not an accident, that's the actual...
And that's set
that's
to happen.
That's natural procedure that they're going to do.
There will be people chaining themselves to those railings.
Well, if you let me just say about the Brazil thing, it really didn't make a great deal of press. I read a small little article in The Guardian about it. You've got a mention on the environment page of the BBC website. A little bit more coverage on Russia Today, Al Jazeera, some other independent news. The Brazilian mainstream media hardly covered it. But it was Brazil's largest environmental disaster in its history. The two massive iron ore dams burst and washed hundreds of thousands of millions of tons of toxic debris down through the rivers for 50, 60 kilometres down the river and wiped out villages and everything. Hardly ever got a mention.
This was 5 or 6 years ago?
No, this is last year.
Last year?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly. Brother.
Yeah,
I didn't know
you didn't even know
no,
that.
No, I heard about the drought in São Paulo.
Because it was an Anglo-American Australian mining conglomerate, the largest mining company on the planet, bar none. It basically is bigger than all the hundreds of other mining companies that exist combined.
Combined, yeah. Okay.
And it just gets away with that.
Yeah.
BP got away with it, with that spill.
Mm-hmm.
The ExxonMobil disaster in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the list goes on. But we've all, since the hippie revolution, the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, the whole that conscious movement, especially after Vietnam and all of those atrocities, that's 40-odd years of this, continuously people protesting, battling, marching, lobbying. God knows where I would be without that.
Well, without it, I mean, how many million? 40 million members? Mm. I mean, they made changes. 38 degrees in Britain.
So you have to ask...
Someof us.org.
Has this Has this got worse, or is it just that our awareness of it is more?
I think our awareness of it is...
Exactly.
You've got the internet. We're learning things.
So we may be... To be honest, I know for a fact that we didn't know a lot of things. Like, I'll give you an example of the first nuclear power station that was built in Britain, up in Cumbria. Obviously renamed several times because of the disasters that happened there that they had to cover up.
And they're building it in Hinckley right now. They're going to switch it on quite soon.
Yeah, so they're just basically...
More nuclear.
They renamed it a couple of times because they had a leak. The first time they renamed it is because they didn't want anyone knowing that they actually didn't...
Sellafield.
It was Sellafield, Windscale, whatever. I don't know what you want to call it nowadays. But it was leaked. I can't remember who leaked it, but it became public knowledge after 40 years anyway. That power station was sold to the public and built by taxpayers' money based on the idea that it would produce lots of really free, cheap
energy.
Modern energy.
Yeah.
Never did.
It's always the argument.
The bill went up,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually built to reprocess other people's nuclear waste into missiles.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. That's the primary reason for it. And they openly admitted it 20, 30, 40 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, nobody knew. But even the activists didn't know that was built as a bomb
making machine, not
a power station. It was a cover-up.
Yeah.
So, but now we know. So imagine all the other things that could have been going on we didn't know about. Now we've got we've got the internet. You can believe half of what you read on it, but there's some really good source material like WikiLeaks. You know, you've got... The pace of change of our awareness is the thing that we're finding it hard to adapt to.
I think we've all reached a point where we're all affected by it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just two examples. Okay, so there's going to be fracking in Britain. That's going to affect the national parks. Over in Brussels, you've got an emergency situation where. You know, they're putting out fear of these young kids from Day Shrice or whatever you want. You know, that's a whole subject in itself. But the thing is, we're all affected by it. And many people I speak to, I was over in Britain talking to family members and strangers, just kind of becoming aware that it's all an illusion. We know what's going on. There is a sense of vulnerability. The continuity of job security and everything else in the society is non-existent. So we have to look after our own. We have to respond to that. We have to be a little more intuitive rather than reactive. Family values and community, you know, organizing in the street level without needing permission, without needing funding, seemed to me to be quite big, important impressions.
Well, that's where I was going to go on next, was to ask you, or at least explain how that for me has changed somewhat in that my decision to move from the UK to live less of a burden with that type of life
out in the sticks of southern Europe.
Yeah, where I can grow some of my own food, where there's a more beneficial climate for it. The people are already set up for rural living and cooperative type stuff. They don't it's not trendy, it's how they live their lives. They're not middle class, you know, organic.
It's nothing new.
Yeah, it's nothing new to them.
The older generation have been doing this.
You know, food has always been organic until we started spraying it. It's not some new thing. It's just we're going back to being organic, not we've moved into being organic. And the same with all the other ways that we've lived our lives as a species for God knows how many thousands of years. Post-industrial revolution changed everything, as this technological information revolution is.
Yes.
And it's happening faster and faster and faster each time. It's how we respond to it, isn't it? And we can't respond to it in any reactionary way. I think the only way we can respond to it now, and I think it's gone too far, is at the individual and out a little bit more than that to family, to the community level. We have to actually organise ourselves to do it.
Yes.
And practice it and not drop out, take all the best bits of what we see in that system and use it, all the best things, to lead by example.
To lead by example, and take the personal decision that I'm going to be a little different, okay, maybe than expectations from family, friends, whatever. I'm going to go this way. Mm. I think this is such an important point to achieve awareness around. And
yeah.
You see, I went, as I said, I spent some time with my daughter. She's 20, and her boyfriend. They're finishing their third years at uni. They realize that the education system is just a kind of a parrot fashion robotic way of filling up the left side of the brain at the expense of the imagination, free will. We deny that free will even exists. It's a mechanical universe. There's no choice out there, really, than the illusion of choice that everybody's been given. Everybody just has to get out there, get a mortgage, start a family, and then look forward to death at an early age, disease.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it quite dramatically, but
the thing is, I'm seeing them saying is they're questioning, maybe we've got money that we owe back to the state because they fund our education.
Yeah, but that's a scam with all the other loan scams that are going on.
What are we going to do? And I see them questioning the conventional routes. And
that's because whilst they're not being educated, when they are away from the education,
yes, they can start learning.
They can start to think about what they want to do with their life.
Yes.
And it won't be learned from there. They will learn some important, valuable things, maybe something to do with electronics or something to do with tangible, real things that can make a difference in people's lives.
Yes.
But the process of education, specifically in the more advanced capital-based societies like the US, Europe, parts of, it's bobbing around the rest of the world, isn't it? The whole idea of schools and getting loads of people to school and stuff like that. If you read Ken Robinson's books and look at some of his TED Talks, it's clear that we didn't have kind of organised public educational system until after the Industrial Revolution. Nothing really happened before that because we didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we don't need it anymore because it's out of date.
It's out of date,
we're completely out of date. It's confusing
everyone.
It doesn't educate anyone. No one learns from education nowadays. Because if they did, everyone would be supportive of it.
I mean, I'm seeing so many parents, single and together, withdrawing.
In the US, for example, the dropout rate at university level is the highest it's been in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's making everyone more aware and happy and wanting to integrate,
make the mill.
Well,
I think.
Well, the younger they get, the more bored they get with it, the more attention they don't have for it.
Mm-hmm.
As again, I'll mention Ken Robinson, but he sums it up perfectly. With the ADHD, attention deficit disorder, that's been labelled, these kids.
One in six American children.
Yeah, giving them all sorts of pills. Ritalin is a very famous one. Other tranquilizers.
Yeah.
To basically anaesthetise them through their education.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're bored to death with it. Because there's too much of the stuff that they know about that they can get their teeth into. And this is why,
I think America,
the people leaving that behind. I urge everyone in Britain that thinks like this to a certain, any small degree, to, if they own their house and have owned that house more than between 10 and 15 years, they are sitting on a massive pot of cash that they could do something with.
Mm-hmm.
And they extract half of that money, or they extract the money that their house is now worth minus what they have a loan or paid for it. So, for example, You bought your house for 100, it's now worth 200. Cash the 100 in, mm-hmm. take it out as equity, and try to move to some part of the world where you can actually...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good idea. Because but, you
that wealth is false, and it's not even of any value. It doesn't add value to anything.
I would extend that idea.
It's dead
and
stale, stagnant economic value. It's doing nothing.
I would reframe that a little bit and say that what we all need to be doing is to just question our mind that is attached to the continuity of a society and a way of functioning in our societies that is not serving us, not serving me or you as humans. I think society is actually endangering the humanity. And
that doesn't help the humans, does it? I mean, I think that this... I've got to say it. This,
well, go on then.
That for me, as in the US and other little pockets around the world, but especially England, for some reason, the property investment market, that speculative investment property market, is catastrophic.
It's insane.
And there's one way, if everyone wants to actually make a change in Britain, if everybody went, so right, I have the right now to take out the equity from my property. If only 30-40% of homeowners did mm-hmm. that, they could change the landscape in Britain overnight, because the banks would absolutely detest it. Because
mm-hmm.
I tell you, if you don't do it now, I'm pretty convinced that there will be an enormous crash in the market.
Bound to be.
And you will be worse off. I say get out the cash now and convert it while you can into some tangible thing that can make a change in the world. Set yourself up a little community, build ecological housing, become self-reliant a lot more than on the state, because the state will screw you, and that is a fact, because it's been doing it ever since they started selling off state-owned assets that we paid for with our tax money. We've been stolen from for 40 years, and now it's time to take that money back. And they've injected it into our houses to make us feel like we're also affluent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, get it out. Do something decent with it. But watching EastEnders every night.
Just to kind of add a bit of colour.
Earbenders every
just
night.
To add a bit of colour. When I was in England recently, I came to realise that the inner city of London's basically been abandoned by the people who were.
Well, it hasn't been abandoned. There. It's been hijacked.
Hijacked.
And then the people you're saying have abandoned it have been booted out, basically.
Booted out, gone to cities like Bristol and Manchester, wherever. And those people who are living in London are, you know, mostly foreigners on contract, on short-term rentals, paying £1,000 a week or whatever.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous.
And the people who have moved to those outlying cities are, well, if they actually have a mortgage and a foot in the property market, may count themselves lucky, but the mathematics of it, the figures of it, is just, it's like the digital, you know, currencies or whatever we want to refer to. It's not grounded, it's not anchored. And I think, just to kind of conclude on that point, this is part of this a growing awareness that it's all an illusion, that we have to reconnect with the nature, we have to rediscover how our hearts are ticking, and put that as a priority, even if it means that we may not know which way to go or exactly how to do it. We've just got to give ourselves time and space to realize that what I was thinking about and where I was putting my energy isn't contributing to what I thought it might have done. It's actually supporting a system which is so corrupt, so crystallized, that the best thing we can do is just sort of pat it on its back and let it sink like the Titanic.
Exactly. As I say, the first movement for that would be for everyone to take initiative, to take the wealth they have that's fabricated and then inflated bubble money,
yes,
which is valid according to the system. and extract that valid money
mm-hmm.
and convert
put it in
something that is
the land or
tangible
the earth,
that
the
they
tangible.
Can't then take away from
yes.
you. Because they will.
They will. Yeah, they want to own the lot.
Because quantitative easing is theft. The constraints they're putting on public services, whatever it is, what do you call that, austerity?
Austerity,
is theft.
Is a theft to the central bank.
It's transfer of wealth from the very needy and the poorer people, and the
mm.
people that worked hard for it.
Mm. And it's become
the,
pervasive. It's
into
become
the
pervasive.
Hands of the people that seem to think they have all the answers by imposing these two
yes.
things. Look at Greece, disaster. Spain's going to be a disaster. Ireland was a complete theft. The Irish people were stolen from. The Greek people are still being stolen from. The IMF is the main cause of all of this.
Yeah,
you only have to read Carl Perkins' book, The Diaries of an Economic Hitman, to know
yes,
that.
Yes.
You know, there were active...
Which people should read if they haven't already read it.
Active people around the world, in the US, in Britain mainly, you know, hitmen basically, saying if you... Yeah, if you do this, we'll make things nice for you lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, then put a little bit more pressure on. And then if it still doesn't happen, dispose that person. Look at what happened in South America. Argentina's a classic. The IMF totally screwed.
Well, what are they
Argentina.
Trying to do in Syria and the Middle East and have done in Iraq, would love
oh,
to
yeah,
do
yeah,
in
yeah.
Iran, is basically just to... take over
yes,
and
it's,
and
it's
we I think we need to bear in mind that what we have on the planet, it's a war on consciousness
mm-hmm.
it's essentially okay, you can say it's an information war, it's to do with property, it's essentially around control versus humanity and amidst all of this we have this growing awareness, a movement towards a turning aside from the outer towards reflections upon our inner wealth, our love for each other, basic humanity. And the way I see it is that those human forces, human created forces of essentially tyranny, the Dark Lord, if you like, the, you know, the Sith, whatever, wherever and whoever they are, that's
well,
the illusion.
You.
It's the who. It's
the
us.
You, the me,
actually,
the us, they're everything. Because
but that is forcing us to wake up. You know, it's a kind of kick
well,
in the backside to
waking up. We're already awake now. We just need to get on with it. And,
yes.
It's just we're dragging our feet because oh God, we all know this now. Well, what do
so
we do?
We're just saying
do
don't
this?
Be afraid. We're saying look, follow your intuition, your heart. It's the most important thing that we can ever do. But don't delay making change.
No, and I mean,
isn't
know,
that the message?
Basically, yes. Don't wait around for the things you would dream of. You know, because you'd be 70 going, "Oh, I should have done that, shouldn't I?"
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, you know, who can judge as to what's the best thing to do? Who know? We might not know anything
ourselves, but not the advertising company, not the media, not the politicians.
We
not
are
the
system. You know,
not
we
the
are,
educational system.
We are complicitly supporting a system by
yes.
simply buying into it.
Why we don't? We've
you
been
know,
doing it ever since the flipping Romans came.
Many we don't like this on Facebook as you want.
Or we like this, but what action
you
going to take?
That you've actually put a post up, it doesn't change it.
What action is are you going to take to make that difference?
I used to feel better about protesting and shouting against Barclays Bank supporting the apartheid system in South
mm-hmm.
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you think of that is another story, but you know, it made me feel good, but. Still, I don't know how less dodgy and corrupt the whole system is there now. It's just that the...
But it should be questioned. Everything should not
yeah.
be taken for granted, but should be. We should be open to questioning everything and asking the question, what's that all about, please, you know? It's time. It's time for this.
But you've got so many fragmented views from different sources... all telling everyone different things, but...
It's just confusion, it's just distraction.
But you don't need... Take a little read between the lines, snippets of it all, and in the end, you kind of know what the real story is. You know that it's...
I mean, I've known you for a few years. You seem very centered and much and calm. You know, you've been through a year of where your business was kind of wagging the dog, and you weren't feeling too secure about that. But actually, I'm seeing you feeling very clear.
Well, it's because you can't do these things on your own, can you? One can't do that. You can run a little business. And
you can't be an island. You can't be
like
an island.
Jenny can. Jenny's great with crafts, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that Jennifer knows she can rely on. The fact that she can make clothing.
And beautiful ones.
Make,
yeah.
You know, and all of that stuff. You don't really, actually, once you get to the bottom of it, you don't need to go any further than that.
Mm-hmm. We've all got a talent.
Yeah, but you could call it a day at that, and that would be enough,
mm-hmm.
in a way, because it's this need for more all the time. To me, we've been distracted away from our true nature through the fact that we think if we have this and have something
mm-hmm.
external to us, it will make everything better.
All right.
And I think the penny's dropping that. Doesn't matter how many phones you have per year,
the desire,
what badge of car it is,
desire
how much
is not
your house
key.
Is worth, there's still things that need to be faced around the world, and it's not fear of being attacked by terror.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is, well, I don't even know what that is. I can't work out where that
well,
is
it's,
from.
It's
terror. All, you know, terror comes in many, many forms, and you know,
terrorists.
Never called the
freedom fighters. You know, they used to be freedom fighters.
They didn't call the U.S. military terrorists when they were dropping napalm and Agent Orange on Vietnam. And shooting depleted uranium shells in the Iraq war with nuclear radioactivity. That's
people are seeing the illusion
terror,
for what it is.
It's just state terror, not us terror.
It's fear perpetuated by the establishment and by a handful of people in order to retain control over the unawakened humanity.
And isn't it weird, the most anticipated Hollywood movie in most, probably in history, is the very latest Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
directed by J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Who's always put a twist on these things, yeah. And it's, what's the story about?
Tell
it's
us.
About...
Have you seen it?
No, but it's the same old story, isn't
same
it?
Same old one.
It's a book, it's a death,
elitist
death mission group,
right,
which you could say is the elitist governments of the world
versus Bilbo Baggins,
based on fear.
That's another movie.
If you don't do what we'll do, we'll blow your planet up,
right,
and a bunch of rebels in the desert trying to fight the imperialists.
Right.
Dictator terrorist.
But do we want to perpetuate this,
no,
this game of having to fight?
No, I know, that's the point. But what I'm saying is, how come it's become so anticipated? How come, I know with all the hype and the media and the product placement
mm-hmm.
and all of this, and it's the Star Wars trilogy is a very famous
It
old,
was prophetic.
Yeah,
it led up to the Iraq War.
I haven't seen the movie yet, and I know J.J. Abrams will put a very... I've heard it's got a very girl power twist to it.
Yeah.
A very human twist to it, in that, you know, I'm quite looking forward to seeing it. But
women can save the world.
In the end, though, it's all about what we just talked about. I remember the first very, very Star Wars film. They were in a self-sufficient little dome in the desert.
Yeah.
Hiding away from the dark forces, or
yes.
whatever it was,
yeah.
and trying to live their life.
That's,
you know,
right.
Power out of tanks.
Yeah.
You don't just
okay.
dig oil out.
Putting up their solar panels.
Yeah, you know, in 1976.
Right.
You know, and it's just, and it's still the same, pretty much.
So maybe the consciousness amongst humanity, amongst us, and the people as a whole on the planet is now up to that task.
Yeah,
maybe we are ready.
Of course, because the Star Wars movie fundamentally is about a bunch of rebels getting together to fight.
The thing is, it's about dissolving the fear,
trying to piss this back. What's weird is how come it's so big in the psyche. You would have thought that the governments would not be... you would have thought people would be going, no, we can't have a film about terrorism. Because that's what it is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't have too much going on about ETs, UFOs, cures for cancer, a whole load of good stuff which we could carry on talking about. But basically the message is, I think we're ready to dissolve our fears and put our best foot forward towards the creative blossoming of ourselves.
And as... Robert Anton Wilson always said, we see the world through the instruments to which we can use to measure it.
Right.
And they're very limited.
Mm-hmm. We do see through those ears and eyes.
If what you can't see, smell, touch, taste...
Jumping Jesus?
Well, he did.
Anton?
He's got loads of... I can't remember what that talk was, but, you know, and but if we can't do that, then it can't exist.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we project world drama out of our
own. In our modern age, it's like...
egos.
If you can't prove it, doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, prove love then.
Exactly.
Well, you can't.
Do you love your
You can't measure it.
Who do you love? You love your son? Can you prove it scientifically?
Not really. You can notice that when you mention these things and you, in your mind... your hormones must change. Also, I've been led to believe that happens. So I don't know whether that happens. That's what I've learned. But
you think love is a hormone?
But you can feel your heart change and things change in your physical self.
What do you think, Johnny?
When you're stimulated by certain things. So, but that doesn't. But you still can't measure it. You could say that a raising heartbeat when you mention that you love your daughter. Mean it equals love, but it doesn't. It means your heartbeat's changed.
So
you can't measure this.
My reflection is that, you know, the mind is based around comparisons, right?
Mm.
Black and white, them and us. Survival, duels. Largely around survival of the fittest.
Duels.
Now, love is heart-centered, and where the mind cannot go, the heart knows, but doesn't need proof.
Mm.
So when I say I love someone, I love Jenny,
or I love you,
whatever,
and watch the
that's
sunset.
The heart simply affirming a reality, but how do you prove it? So that we come to this awareness,
well,
this that the outer world is created by the projections of our mind, that the inner reality is a heart-centered one, that the mind cannot differentiate, cannot compare.
No.
It's not.
It's a
different modality.
If you were to follow that rule, whatever it is, that's not a rule, that guideline. All that what I was saying about people,
people
get rid of their equity to do something that they really would like to
get
do.
Rid of their mind.
Stop getting in your mind.
Yeah.
It all adds up to this amount, and all that means I've got some.
Yep, yep.
It's all kind of recalculating my allot in this thing till I retire at 65, and then my mortgage will be paid off, and then I'll have a loan.
Got to be in control.
What about, as I say, don't throw it all away if you don't like to take risk, because we don't like to take risk, do we nowadays? Risk is not something built in.
Going into the heart is a risk.
Well,
coming
it is, but I'm talking
mind,
about
you know?
What people are led to believe is
that's risk. The only risk we're...
we're led to believe it's risk, it's not risk at all. So selling your house up to buy a smaller one, to buy a plot of land...
Then you get out the property market and
just... Yeah, you just get on and do something else. There's no risk involved whatsoever.
No.
The only risk
at
is
the
that,
end of
like right. What happened to me, if I decided to move back to England now, I wouldn't find anywhere to live. Because I would. I'd be able to rent somehow after jumping through a million hoops to prove that I'm worthy. I'd never be able to buy a house, and I'd have to earn £55,000 a year to get.
But are you happier with your choices?
I don't know whether it's to do with happiness. I don't really.
Well, how do you quantify your state of mind, your well-being? Are you counting the money in the bank, or what? What is it?
No, because I don't have any money in the bank. not the only money I have in the bank is what my pay goes in every month,
yeah.
And a little bit of a nest egg in case I need
to
fix my car. But
how do you observe that you're in a better state of mind?
Well, I don't know whether it is a better state of mind. I mean, the times I spent in London in the city after leaving the countryside, I mean, you know, it was a big change, a big challenge. But I was young, it was exciting, you know, all those things that you do. And as I said at the beginning, it's, you have kids, you get older and things start to change. But it's not like that now, because the things... What I find is the opportunities that are available to me and my friends at that time, where you could go to university if you got an A-level, with your fees paid, with your digs paid, you could work, you could even sign on if your earnings were only...
And come out as free spirit.
And come out free spirit, and you will have engaged with a load of interesting people, without no stress, in all kinds of different... You know, there's still good university places today, but they're really politicised now, in loans. How come in the most so-called prosperous time that we're supposed to have lived, the most advanced, prosperous, you know, all the politicians will tell you we live in an age where, you know, this is the perfect thing, it works brilliantly, we just need to move forward, bring prosperity to the world. Well, if that's working so well, how come everyone's burdened with so much debt?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't move, and you can't go to college without racking up 40 grand debt,
you can't
get rent paid, and you can't get... No.
You were in the last generation of the free spirit.
Yeah, it's just...
Possibility.
It's just, I can now see why kids that were my age then, I didn't ever want to go to university, I just wanted to work and earn some money and drive around on a motorbike, but you know, it's just very strange that there's so much pressure on younger generation now to just even get a degree. It doesn't even guarantee you a job.
No, it's not.
It's all politicised.
It's politicised and controlled. The game is numbered.
And a theft again, they're just giving us loans.
A theft of the future.
Yeah.
Of really the generations moving into adulthood.
So yeah, there is one only way, I believe, if I was to go to my maximum radical level,
be radical.
That would be to drop out.
Well, like you said earlier, drop out, take a conscious choice.
I know, but what I'm saying is, if
get
you really
out
are...
Of, the
but if you're of that person who's prepared to take the risk, sell your whole house, give it all up, move somewhere where you can live the way you
Or if you haven't got a house, just go... volunteering or something,
exactly.
You know?
But forget jumping on that gravy train now, because you're basically wasting your time.
It's a runaway
train. I fully cannot understand.
Let's
how
just,
people
just,
make
just
it
pat it on
work.
The back
and
kiss it goodbye. You know. All right, Paul. Thank you. It's great talking to you. I personally want to respect you as one of my best friends and wish you a very happy year. Loads of
Thank
happy
you very
days.
Much. Happy
and
prosperous future to you and Jennifer too.
Yeah. God bless everyone.